भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये, नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया, भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी, कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमः पंकजनाभाय, नमः पंकजमालिने, नमः पंकजनेत्राय, नमस्ते पंकजांघ्रिये। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले, स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितान्तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखां च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते, गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी, वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। आराध्य भगवान् व्रजेश तनयस्तद्धाम वृन्दावनम्, रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधु सर्गेन या कल्पिता। श्रीमद्भागवतम् प्रमाणममलम् प्रेमापुमर्थो महान्, श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदम् तत्रादरो नापरः। नमावोम् विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले, श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे, निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधर, श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। On behalf of Srila Prabhupada, all the Vaishnavas, I extend a very warm welcome to one and all who have come to participate in this Sunday feast program at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, Chowpatty. So, I think just a minute, I'll get this effect first. So the topic that has been selected for today is Gopal Jiyu, the beloved deity of His Holiness Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj. And all the information that will be presented today is also from a book of the same name, that is Gopal Jiyu, the beloved deity of His Holiness Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj. This is that book. In the first place, to discuss such an elevated topic, an elevated personality, I really do not consider myself qualified. So I beg for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas before I can say something, so that you can all pray that their lordships be kind and enable me to speak a few words that will be pleasing to the ears of all the listeners. Thank you. So first of all, we can begin by respectfully offering our respectful obeisances to their lordships, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Sri Gaur Nitai, Sri Gopal, and to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, and of course, the deities who are the topic of our discussion today, Sri Sri Radha Gopal Jiyu. And the Lord and His devotees are very intimately connected. The Lord and His devotee have a very intimate relationship. So whenever you would like to discuss anything about the Lord, automatically the Lord takes the opportunity to glorify His devotee. And so the two are always intertwined. So if you have any discussion of Gopal Jiyu, it cannot be without discussing Srila Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj, who was a very intimate devotee of Sri Gopal Jiyu. So, here is our own Gopal on our altar. It's not different. Before we start with the main topic, I would like to speak very briefly something by way of introduction to the topic that is being discussed today. We are going to discuss about a deity of the Lord. There is a beautiful verse given by Rupa Goswami wherein he says, अतः श्री कृष्ण नामादि न भवेत् ग्राह्यम इंद्रियात् सेवन मुख ही जीवादव स्वयमेव स्वरत्यदा. द मीनिंग इज अतः श्री कृष्ण नाम आदि, दैट मीन्स द लॉर्ड एंड एवरीथिंग इन कनेक्शन टू हिम. आदि मीन्स हिज फॉर्म, हिज डेटी, पैराफर्नेलिया, पास्ट टाइम्स, एवरीथिंग इन कनेक्शन विद द लॉर्ड. न भवेत् ग्राह्यम इंद्रियात् मीन्स इट कैन नॉट बी अंडरस्टूड बाय द ऑर्डिनरी सेंसेस. इट्स वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट टू नो दिस बिफोर वी गो अहेड विद द टॉपिक. Actually, there are two words which very often we use. One we say material and the other we say spiritual. Sometimes people wonder, what is the meaning of material? What is the meaning of spiritual? If you open the science textbook, standard 6th or standard 7th, what is the definition of matter? Matter is defined as anything which is perceptible to the senses. And anything in relation to matter is material. And what is spirit? Spirit is diametrically opposite to matter. So that means it is not perceptible to the senses. It is beyond the senses. This is known as adhokshaja, beyond the senses. And therefore there is another word also which is commonly used, and that is transcendental. Transcendental means transcend. Transcend means cross. But cross over what? Cross over the boundaries of time and space. That is the meaning. That is the meaning of the word transcendental. That which is beyond time and space, that is spiritual. Spirit. Anything to do with spirit is spiritual. So the topic that we are going to discuss is spiritual. And therefore, to bear in mind what Srila Rupa Goswami has told us, is very important. That is, when you look at the deity form of the Lord, and what is the deity form of the Lord? Actually, let us even consider that. It is nothing but pure mercy of the Lord. Because in our present state, we are embodied. We are locked inside a body. And we are conditioned. That means our is material conditioning. We can only understand or relate to anything that is material. That is our tragic state, because we have assumed a material body. And therefore, how then to approach the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental, who is beyond time and space? Therefore, out of His kindness, what has He done is, He is manifesting Himself in the material form, in which we can relate to Him. And this is how He makes it possible for us to go closer to Him. And the beauty of the deity is, deity is object of worship and object of love of the conditioned soul. Because that soul is naturally attracted to the super soul. It is a natural attraction. But how can we see the super soul? We cannot see with these material eyes. Therefore, out of His kindness, He manifests in front of us in the form of a deity. So whenever you see a deity, we have to understand it is the supreme mercy of the Lord that He has decided to incarnate in the form of a deity. It is actually an incarnation of the Lord. And therefore, to understand the deity, we have to see through another pair of eyes. Not with these eyes. The eyes which we have, they are known as charma chakshu or material eyes. They can only give you material vision. But you need another pair of eyes to see the deities in their true perspective. And those other pair of eyes are known as jnana chakshu, eyes of knowledge. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned, Maya mugda jivera nahi swata Krishna gyan. Jivera kripa kaila Krishna Veda Puran. That is, the living entity in this material world is completely covered by illusion. Maya mugdha jivera. Mugdha means completely engrossed. And because of that, nahi swata Krishna gyan. It's very difficult for the conditioned soul to voluntarily or on one's own effort or ability to acquire knowledge of Krishna. Therefore, what does Krishna do out of his mercy? Jivera kripa kaila. He has bestowed his mercy on the living entity. And what has he done? Krishna Veda Puran. So he has given the Vedas and the Puranas. This is knowledge about himself through these scriptures. And one who studies these scriptures acquires knowledge. And in light of this knowledge, when you see, that is known as Jnana Chakshu or seeing with the eyes of knowledge. So he has given the Shastras and he has sent his own representatives into this world, the sadhus, who lead a life based on the Shastras. They are shining examples for us to tell us that yes, it is possible to lead the life as per the directions of the Shastras. Because unless you see a proof in front of you, it's difficult for you to accept it. Otherwise you feel it's impractical, it's not possible, it's very far removed, it's difficult. This kind of excuses in the mind will throw up. And then to personally guide each one, he sends a personal guide, and that guide is Guru. Just like a mother holds the hand of the child and takes the child forward, in the same way the Guru gives personal love, care and attention and guides the living entity towards the supreme destination of understanding the Supreme Lord and relating to Him so that one doesn't waste one's life. So today what we are going to discuss is a story which explains all these points very graphically, literally and physically. That is the beauty of this story. So let us shift to the village of Gadaigiri. Gadaigiri is a simple, humble village in the state of Orissa. There is a place known as Jagat Singhpura, district of Jagat Singhpura, which is about 3 hours drive from Bhubaneswar by road. And there you have this village of Gadaigiri with lush green trees, small thatched roofs, mud houses, and a tulsi in front of every house. People subsisting on agriculture and selling some brass vessels and utensils for their livelihood. A very simple, down-to-earth life. And let us go back in time now to the 17th century. This village was actually established in 1695, and it's a very interesting story to see how this village was established. There was a person. Actually, the Vedic concept is nothing comes without a person. Everything is personal. Whatever we see today, whatever we hear or understand, there is always a person behind it. Similarly, behind the story, it starts from a person. And the name of that person was Gadaigiri. Giri was the surname, Gadai was his name. So Gadaigiri. He was an ordinary simple villager who came from the Midnapore district of West Bengal. And he would migrate to this place every year during the Chaturmasya period. Chaturmasya means the period of rainfall. And he would come for these 4 months and live here. And he would go house to house selling brass wares for his livelihood. He had one quality. And that quality was, he was a very good kirtan singer. And those days, lifestyle was quite different from what it is today. Today we have innumerable forms of entertainment. We have the television right into the house. As if it is not enough to have a television, there is further advancement. You have what is known as a home theater. That is going from the devil into the deep sea. Okay. So these are so many options available today. But in those days, people didn't have all these options. So the simple lifestyle of a village was, people would simply assemble generally in the local temple. A temple was the center of every village. Every village had at its central point a temple. That was the common place where people would meet. And that is the point where there would be culture. People would come, they would sing, they would dance, they would narrate stories. And everything was centered around the Supreme Lord. So their life was automatically sublime. And Gadaigiri was a good kirtan singer. So as he travelled in these parts, he gradually gained a reputation and people welcomed him. He was invited by the rich and by the poor, both. So wherever people wanted some nice, pious entertainment, they would call Gadaigiri, he would go. And he would participate in many local functions also. Gradually, his name and fame reached the local zamindar. And the local zamindar invited him and told him, I am very pleased with you that you have come to our area and you are spreading very good culture over here by engaging people in this pious deed of performing kirtan for the Supreme Lord. So I welcome you to come and stay in this tract of land. And as a gesture of my goodwill, I am awarding you a huge chunk of land. But Gadaigiri was a simple person. If today this offer were to come to any one of us, what would be our reaction? We would jump with both our hands raised. Yes, yes. Can we go to the court? Can we register the deed? We would be fully engrossed in all these activities. But he just heard about it and he kept quiet. He didn't say anything. And he continued with his normal activities. One day, as he was in that area, he met a Naga Baba. And this Naga Baba and himself, both of them were walking. And as they were walking, they heard the melodious sound of a flute playing. They heard the sound of the ankle bells, tinkling of the ankle bells. They heard the sound of a conch blowing. And the Naga Baba said, Oh Gadaigiri, this is not an ordinary place. This is a very special place. This is the place where the Lord personally resides. So therefore, I direct you to make your residence here and settle down. As soon as he heard this, he connected this with the earlier offer of the zamindar, who had told him that I am willing to award you suitable tract of land. Immediately he went to the zamindar and said, I would like to have a land in this area. So that particular spot where they heard this auspicious sounds was selected by Gadaigiri to build a hut, to stay there and perform kirtan on a regular basis. As he settled down there, and the zamindar also gave him a huge tract of land meant for cultivation, attached to this piece of land, where they can establish the deities of the Lord. And in earlier times, this was the custom. The deities always had a property. And they always had cultivable land. And the produce that was given from this land was the source of income to maintain the deities. So God would come with his own arrangements. When he incarnates on the material platform, he would make his own material arrangements also. So this was the custom and the tradition. And so, our Gadaigiri, he had Jagannath deities with him. And in Orissa, the deity of Jagannath, when not worshipped along with Balram, that is Baldev and Subhadra, is known as Dadi Baman. So he built a hut, he established the deity of Jagannath, which is called as Dadi Baman in the local language, and he started worshipping the Lord over there and holding regular kirtans. because of his wonderful kirtans and his pure devotion, many sadhus and babajis and so many others, they started coming there on a regular basis, gradually, and then there was land for cultivation. So people came to cultivate the land. Gradually, an entire settlement developed. People built houses in that area and the village was established. So this way, the village was established in the year 1695. Gadaigiri had a son whose name was Gopalgiri. 1720 to 1805. This Gopalgiri took after the culture imparted by his father. He grew as a wonderful devotee, Hare Krishna. And he also was an expert kirtan singer. He developed a craving to worship the Gopala form of the Lord. So he started intensely praying that, how can I get a deity of Gopal whom I can worship? Then he thought, Jagannath Puri is nearby. Many people come to Jagannath Puri. So I should go to Jagannath Puri. Maybe somebody can help me find a deity of Gopal. He went to Jagannath Puri. And he took up job there as the cashier in the Jagannath temple. So cashier was called as Poddar. So he became the Poddar of Jagannath Puri temple. And the king told him that you are singing nice kirtans, so you stay in the temple and you can sing for the Lord and you can also do this job of a cashier. And while doing that, he would sit on the steps of Jagannath Puri. There are 22 steps known as the Bais Pachaha. So he would sit there and regularly read Bhagavatam. This was his daily routine. And after doing his regular function duties, he would spend time reading Bhagavatam, doing kirtans, and this way he led a very pious life. And he took the opportunity to meet the devotees who were coming to Jagannath Puri, and he told everybody that, I am in search of a deity of Gopal. Can you please help me? So many promised him, yes, when we go to Vrindavan, we'll get you a deity. And please try to understand, we are talking about the year 17th century, 18th century. At that time there were no motor cars, there was no train, there was no plane, there was no mode of transport other than a pullock cart. And the fastest people would go was riding on a horseback. So it took months for people to go to Vrindavan. So generally people would tell him that, yes, I'll get you a deity, but they eventually forgot. So his desire was very intense. But then, when a devotee intensely desires, even if nobody of this world hears, one person certainly hears. Who is that? Krishna. So Gopala heard his intense desire. And there was a sadhu in Vrindavan. And he was worshipping the beautiful form of Gopal. And he used to carry this deity form of Gopal in a jhola, a cloth tied around the neck. So one day, the deity spoke to him. He told him that, please give me to Gopal, who is in Jagannath Puri. Give me to Gopal Giri, who is in Jagannath Puri. I want you to go to Jagannath Puri and hand over this deity form. I want him to worship me. The deity personally spoke to him in a dream. Gopal got up the next day and he thought, how can I go to Jagannath Puri? So he ignored the direction that was given to him. The next night when he slept, he got a severe whacking on his leg and his leg started bleeding. He just got up. He said, oh, what is this? And again, stern warning of the deities came to him. Did I not tell you, go to Jagannath Puri? Why are you sleeping? Immediately he understood, this was what I saw, was not a dream, was not a figment of my imagination. It was directly the command of the Supreme Lord. Without second thoughts, he got up and started walking towards Jagannath Puri. In course of time, he reached and he came to the house of Gopalgiri. Of course, it was possible for him to find out because Gopalgiri was quite well known in Jagannath Puri. He started asking people and they directed him. He came to the house of Gopalgiri. And he told him, Gopal, I have brought the deity of Gopal for you. Gopal was actually shocked. This is that beautiful deity that sadhu got from Vrindavan. He said, Gopal wanted to be worshipped by you, so I have come all the way from Vrindavan. At that point of time, Gopal was overwhelmed, because this was his longing of the heart. So the sadhu immediately told him, first, please touch my feet with your hand. This bleeding will not stop unless you touch me. This is the instruction given by Gopal himself, that this will be cured only when Gopal Giri touches your feet, touches the wound. So immediately he touched the wound, no second thoughts, and he didn't think further of it. Oh, I have got the ability to cure. He didn't think like that. His focus was that now he had Gopal with him. He became extremely happy. And he told the sadhu that please come, relax. I will make some nice prasad for you. You have come such a long way. I am so grateful to you. And he said, I have some work. I have to go and meet the king. He went to the king. And what did he tell the king? Because it was on the instructions of the king that he was appointed as the cashier. He said, the purpose for which I have come to Jagannath Puri is fulfilled. I wanted a deity of Gopala. Now I have a deity of Gopala. So please give me permission that I can go back to my village of Gadaigiri and worship the Lord there. The king heard out his entire request and said, it's a very noble cause for which you want to go. And he gave him something like retirement benefit. So he gave him a bag full of gold coins. Gopal Giri brought those gold coins and gave it to the sadhu. He told him, I am so grateful to you. You have given me this wonderful deity of Gopala. Now, I would like to give this to you. So I would like to take over worship of Gopala. And here are these gold coins which are for you. What would we do if we were in that place? But what did that sadhu say? He said, I have not come to sell Gopal. I will serve Gopal wherever he is. You worship Gopal and I will serve Gopal. I will stay with you. He did not accept the gold coins. See this. This is character. When I was in school, we had Sanskrit as one of the subjects. And one of the shlokas I still remember. It says, what is true wealth and what is true character? Hastasya bhushanam danam satyam kanthasya bhushanam shrotrasya bhushanam shastram shilam sarvatra bhushanam. The meaning of this is, what is the ornament for the hand? Not bangles. Not gold bracelets or diamond studded bracelets, but the quality of giving charity. Hastasya bhushanam danam. Satyam kanthasya bhushanam. So the ornament for the neck is not a choker, but it is speaking the truth. And we understand the supreme truth is Lord Krishna. So one has to regularly utter the names of the Lord with this throat. Then it is ornamented. Shrotrasya bhushanam shastram. And what is the ornament for the ears? Hearing the scriptures, shastra. Not nakshatra by chintamanis. And shilam sarvatra bhushanam. Good character is ornament for the entire personality. So this sadhu, Vaishnava, was endowed with such a wonderful character. So he stayed with Gopal for the next 20 years till he gave up his body and regularly and sincerely served the deity of Gopal. Then Gopal Giri sent message to his village and invited devotees from there to come and accompany Gopal to the village in a very grand style, performing kirtans. The king was very pleased with Gopal's kirtans and he gave him a very special order. He said, every year the villagers of Gadaigiri must come to Jagannath Puri and do kirtan for the pleasure of the Lord. To this day that practice goes on. Even to this day, the villagers of Gadagiri go to Jagannath Puri and they do kirtan for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. Then the deity of Gopala was established. At Gadagiri, next to Dadi Vaman, that is Lord Jagannath. And what did our Gopalgiri do? He made a beautiful brass deity of Radharani to go along with Gopal and established Radha Gopal Jiu deities. So they were established in the 18th century. And that is how Gopal Jiu came to reside in Gadagiri. These are the beautiful deities of Gopal Jiu who are still worshipped. Today, that temple, that place, that modest hut, over a period of time of several generations, has now, it has come into the hands of ISKCON, and ISKCON has built a beautiful temple for Gopal Jiu, and this is how Gopal Jiu is now to be seen over there. We can have his darshan, Gopal Jiu with Radha. They are beautifully ornamented, decorated and worshipped with lot of faith and devotion by the deities, by the devotees of Gadagiri. And this deity is very, very reciprocative. Lord Narasimha Dev in Gadagiri temple. There's a deity of Lord Narasimha Dev. So now let us briefly see something about the Giri family, because after Gadagiri established the village, then we had Gopalgiri, who actually got the deity of Gopal. And then after Gopalgiri, let us see how the lineage is. We are not going to go into the details. There is a lot to mention about each one of them, but we have paucity of time. So if at all we have, then we will see later on. But these are the names. At least reading these names will be very purifying for us. So Gadagiri, his son was Gopalgiri, and his son was Dinabandhugiri, his son was Abhiramgiri, his son was Bhagavatcharangiri, and his son was Bhikarigiri. Then he was succeeded by Govindagiri, and Govindagiri was succeeded by Baudigiri or Baurigiri. And then Baurigiri had three children. So Gopinath Giri, Jagannath Giri and Dinabandhu Giri, three sons and two daughters. So five children in all. And the two daughters were Hada Devi and Patta Devi. So Patta Devi married Ishwaramanik and they had children. They had three children, Kripasindhu, Swadhari Devi and Brajabandhu. Brajabandhu, the eldest of the three, is actually the present day Gaur Govind Maharaj. He then came into ISKCON. So, it is a long chain of events. We are not going to go into those details because what we have to discuss further is very engrossing and very interesting as to how Gopala actually came from that simple village hut to a magnificent temple built by ISKCON in the same place. He didn't move from the place. But throughout, what are the pastimes he's performed, and especially for us something to get inspired by the life of Gaur Govind Maharaj. So, Brajabandhu Manik was born in 1929 and he lived to the ripe old age of 1996, the year of 1996. So this is how he was when he was serving as a school teacher in Gadagiri. This is his birthplace, the kutir in which he was born. And he was born to Patta Devi and Ishwaramanik. And it is worthwhile to note the lifestyle of his mother Patta Devi, who comes in that great lineage of devotees. They say behind every successful man there is a woman. So, behind such an eminent personality as Gaur Govind Maharaj, there was his mother who molded his character so wonderfully. Yes. So we are now talking about Brajbandhu Manik, and I would like to read something briefly from this book, because there are certain important aspects where I don't want to miss any point at all. So therefore, I thought it is better to read directly from the book certain aspects. So being married did not detract from Pattadevi's devotion to Gopal. Although living 14 kilometers away in Jagannathpur, she always managed to come during festival times to serve Gopal. Pattadevi was always quiet and absorbed in serving her husband and children. Every Saturday, she would fast as an offering for their well-being. Each morning, she would worship Lord Jagannath and recite from the Puranas and Bhagavad Gita. Every evening, she chanted Hare Krishna and performed Tulsi Parikrama with her husband and her son, Brajbandhu. After Parikrama, she would recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Any beggar or sadhu that came to her house never went away empty-handed. Once a famous blind astrologer named Nityanand Khadiratna travelled from Denkanal and stayed 2 days in Gadaigiri. At that time, Brajbandhu was a small child and he and his mother were staying at his uncle's house in Gadaigiri. Pattadevi took her son to the astrologer, desiring to know something about his future. It is a common custom in India when a child is born that they draw up the horoscope, and a function itself is held for that, and the future of the child, it is an auspicious reading of the horoscope is done. The astrologer said, this is the prediction. This boy is very intelligent and is full of devotion. He will be married and get government service. In his middle age, he will give up family life and become a sadhu. He will acquire high knowledge and an important place on the map of sadhus. He will build temples. He will make Gopal's place bright. Lastly, the astrologer said, it's very noteworthy, that God himself has sent this child from his abode to the material world for preaching his message and for the deliverance of the conditioned souls. That is Gaur Govind Maharaj. As a child, he was very attached to Bhagavatam. And in his own words, we can understand his attachment to Bhagavatam. I would again like to read what has been given by Gaur Govind Maharaj in his own words. Gurudev told that whenever as a young boy he would become naughty and not stop crying, his mother would simply put the Srimad Bhagavatam in his hands and he would stop. He was so much inclined to read the Bhagavatam that if he were reading, he would forget to take his meal. The family was too poor to afford candles or a lamp for reading. So in the evening, he would sit close to his mother's cooking fire and read Srimad Bhagavatam. At night, he would go to sleep clutching the Bhagavatam to his chest. So you can understand, a divine and gifted personality, they say, Navjat Balak ki pehchan, I don't remember the full sentence, but Navjat means newly born child, is from the cradle itself. We can make out what kind of an extraordinary personality he was. So, his uncles were Gopinath Giri and Jagannath Giri, and he would regularly perform kirtans with them as a boy. And during the daytime, he would study in the school. So it is not that because he had a devotional bent of mind, he neglected his duties. As a student, it was his duty to study, so he did that. This is what we have to learn from the life of great souls. Even Bhaktivinod Thakur, he was a family man, and he took care of his family. He gave good education, culture to his children, everything he did. But in spite of it, he wrote so many books. And what was his great contribution to the spiritual lives of the people. The same way, Brajbandhu Manik, even as a boy, he exhibited these qualities. Then at night, he would attend kirtans. He served Gopal in the temple in the mornings. And just as we heard the story of Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj as a young boy was not taking interest in mundane activities. But even as a young boy, he would gather his friends and he would do Krishna Katha with them. So even Gaur Govind Maharaj as a young boy was something like that. He would always like to discuss topics of Krishna. And one special quality of his was, even as a boy, from a childhood, he would never eat anything without offering to the Gopal deity. Only after offering to the deity of Gopal, he would touch his food. Otherwise, he would not touch any food. He slept only for 4 hours each day in the 24-hour cycle. And till his old age, he maintained the same practice. Even when he became a sannyasi and was traveling worldwide, he was sleeping only for 4 hours. Later, he did kirtans with his cousins Ghanshyam and Damodar Giri. Very interesting personalities. We will know more about them as we go further in the narration. They were his cousins because, as we know, that his father had 2 brothers and they were the sons of those 2 other brothers. And so far as his education was concerned, he did BA and then BEd. But they did not have enough money to enroll him in a school or college. So he did privately. He studied privately at home at night and he appeared for the university exam and he got his degree. Then he married Vasanti Devi in 1952 and had 4 sons and 3 daughters. Each day he would get up 3:30 in the morning and regularly chant his rounds, read Bhagavad Gita, and he would also do explanation of Bhagavad Gita to the children. Moreover, when he was singing those kirtans, he would sing many of Narottam Das Thakur's kirtans because they were popular at that time. Because we know we are going back in time now. So, those were the area and that was the place where Narottam Das Thakur, Shamanand Prabhu, Rasikanand Acharya, all those themes, their preaching was very powerful. And so they had their descendants and those songs were very popular. And he would sing all such songs. And also, even when he was just 8 years old, just a boy of 8, he had mastery over Bhagavad Gita. Chaitanya Charitamrita, he had detailed knowledge about Chaitanya Charitamrita. He had read these books. And even scholars and learned people would come from far and wide to discuss these topics with him when he was just an 8-year-old boy. That is an elevated personality that he was. So he constantly prayed. And what was his prayer? What was he seeking from the Lord? He was only seeking love of God, prema bhakti. That was what his prayer was all about. Actually, there are a lot of details, but I cannot go into all those things now because we have to go ahead with the storyline. But if I would recommend that all of you should read this book. And if you read this book, please read it without any external disturbance, with full focus. Then you can actually get into the mood and you can actually experience those feelings that these great souls want to share with us. So at the age of 45, he left home. And he said, enough of this material world now. This is again another example. He has told that at the age of 50, one is supposed to take to Vanaprastha Ashram. So he felt that I have had enough. Even when during the time of his marriage, he was the only person who was in a regretful mood. The rest of the people were all happy that a marriage is taking place in the family. But he put his head down and he said, why am I getting into this material entanglements? That was his mood. But nonetheless, he gave a very good family life to his children, to his wife. He discharged his responsibilities very nicely. And it is also mentioned further that he would go quite often to the Himalayas with his wife to meet sadhus, yogis, to discuss. That was his entertainment. Not going to hill stations like Mahabaleshwar and Mathirand. So you can see what kind of a vision and what kind of a personality he was. Talking about vision, there are two things we can see. That which you see with the eyes. But what is true vision? True vision is seeing beyond what you can see with the eyes. So these are great personalities who are actually visionaries. And that is why they can lead people. So then he went to see his favorite deity, Gopal. Gopal was his life actually. This is the difference of how one has to relate to the deity. We may come to the temple if everything is convenient. If there is Mumbai Band and if there is some strike or if it is raining heavily, we say, no, today I can't go to the temple. But he was not that kind of a personality. It was not a question of what is convenient or what is inconvenient. It was a question of what is the priority. He had set a priority in his life. Gopal was a real person who was the core of his being, and without meeting and seeing him, he would never feel happy. Any important decisions of his life, any important situation of his life would never be done without taking the permission of Gopal. So now he was going to take sannyas. He was leaving his house and going. So he went 14 kilometers all the way to meet Gopal. And what happened at that point of time is very interesting. Yes, when he arrived at Gopal's temple, it was about 2 p.m. Generally, Gopal's aarti begins at 12 in the noon, and by 2 p.m., the aarti is finished and everyone has taken prasadam. Somehow on that day, the key was lost and Gopal's service was delayed. When Gurudev arrived, the aarti was just beginning. I think that Gopal made this arrangement so that he would be able to see his dear devotee. This is the reciprocation of the Lord with his devotee. So he was taking a very important decision in his life and he went to see Gopal. But by the time he reached, actually by that time the darshan would have been closed. But the Lord so manipulated things that the key was lost and they could not do anything. And he had darshan of the Lord and only after that everything happened. So, and after he left his household, a lot of things happened. It is not that he left his household very easily. There was what is known as Rona, Dhona, everything happened. His wife came, tried to persuade him, the villagers came. At this time we can recollect the event that happened in the life of Lord Ramchandra. When he wanted to leave Ayodhya, it was not easy. Everybody came and persuaded him. Bharat came, Lakshman came, the nobility came. So many people came and stopped him. They said, don't, please don't go, please don't go. But a person who has a firm determination, how he endeavors. Vyavasaya atmika buddhi ekehe kurunandana bahu shakhai anantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. So then, he went to the Himalayas. He went actually, traveled the whole of India, not just the Himalayas. He went to Himalayas, he came down, he went to different places. And he met different kinds of yogis, different kinds of jnanis. But he was not impressed. One important point we have to understand in this. If you want to buy gold, you must know what is gold. If you don't know what is gold, you will be cheated. Or you must have faith in a person who knows what is gold. One of the two. So here was a personality who knew what he was looking for. He was looking for pure gold. He was looking for prema bhakti. And there were so many spiritualists spread over India, but he was not satisfied with any of them. Ultimately, it was that he met Prabhupada in 1974 at Vrindavan. Now here also, there are very nice detailed descriptions given. And when he arrived in Vrindavan, he found many temples and ashramas. He saw the sign International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Devotees were staying in huts. Brahmananda Swami was his secretary of Prabhupada. So he went to him and requested, please make some arrangement that I can meet Srila Prabhupada. So, at that time, then Prabhupada said, okay, let him come in. So here, he is narrating. He said, so I went into the room. It was midday. Prabhupada had just taken his noon prasad and was sitting on a chair. Nobody was there. I offered my obeisances. At first sight, I felt that Prabhupada could understand me. He asked, where have you come from? What is your name? Seeing my garb, he said, have you taken sannyas? Because he was in saffron clothes, though he had not taken sannyas, but he was in saffron clothes. He was wandering as a sadhu. I said, no, I have not taken sannyas. He said, I'll give you sannyas. Then I could understand. He is a genuine guru because he knows my heart. He is Chaitya Guru. I was in search of such a person under whom I could take shelter. I took shelter of him. My heart was naturally attracted toward him. And I had full faith in Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they helped me. So then he received his first initiation in Bombay. And then he received his second initiation in Mayapur. And then he received his sannyas diksha also in Vrindavan. All this happened within a gap of just 9 months. Less than 9 months. In quick succession. Because he was a ready-made devotee. Today we want things instant, isn't it? Instant tea, instant coffee, instant dosa, MTR, so many things. Now this is also a very beautiful pastime of his taking sannyas. Very interesting. I think I should read something from here. One second. Yes. So actually at that time, there were many Western devotees who were with Prabhupada. And it was decided that sannyas diksha was to be awarded to Tripurari Maharaj. And I think at that time many of the leaders were against new Indian devotees taking sannyas. So he came in front of Prabhupada and he bluntly told who Gaur Govind Maharaj, because at that time he had already got his first initiation, second initiation. So he said, I want to take sannyas. So Prabhupada told him, so you want to take sannyas? Let me tell you what it means to take sannyas. He explained the qualifications of a sannyasi. The sannyasi can never have any sex desire. He should never think of a woman even for a second. A sannyasi never thinks he is alone, but always knows that Krishna and Guru are with him. After Prabhupada had explained all these things, he just looked at Gaur Govind and said, now, do you understand? He said, yes. Then Prabhupada said, okay, let's take prasadam. And that was it. He never said yes or no. Then Gaur Govind Maharaj narrates, I remember going into the secretary's room where all the sannyasis and the GBCs had gathered. They were all saying, did Prabhupada say yes or did he say no? We don't understand. After that, we all went with Prabhupada to Vrindavan for the next big leg of the festival. In Vrindavan, on the last day, there was a fire yagya and Gaur Govind was acting as the priest for the ceremony. Only one person was supposed to take sannyas, and that was Tripurari. But there were two dandas that were kept over there. No one knew who the other person was. Then Prabhupada said, the sannyas candidates should come up and take their cloth. At that time, Gaur Govind stood up from behind the fire and took his cloth. Then Prabhupada handed him the danda, looked at him with a big smile and said, you have understood. After he took sannyas, many sannyasis and GBCs started complaining. How has he taken sannyas? He is a new man. Then Prabhupada looked at them. He said, he is a devotee from birth. You are new men. So this is how the leela of his taking sannyas was. So here we understand some points. Prabhupada was not an ordinary person. He had jnana chakshu. He could read the mind of a person. Because a person who is an advanced devotee, the Paramatma speaks to him from within the heart. That is the sign of an advanced devotee. So he had not interviewed Gaur Govind before that. He didn't ask him, what is your background, from where have you come? He did not send any verification to find out to the village of Gadaigiri. Did this man really come from here? Nothing such like that. What is done in today's corporate world, I am telling. But it is just instantaneous. Instantaneous. He could relate to everything and he could spot decisions he took. And then, so this is that point where he says that you are a born devotee. Then following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, so now that he gave him sannyas, he gave him instructions also, he gave him three important instructions, and they were translating Prabhupada's books into the Odia language, building the Krishna Balaram temple at Bhubaneswar, and preaching the world over. Three instructions he gave him. And these three instructions, Gaur Govind Maharaj took them as his life and soul till the very end of his life. He would not eat prasad till he had completed the day's translation. Whatever quota of translation he had set for the day, he would not eat prasad till he finished that. Even sometimes during his preaching movements, he had to travel long distance, sometimes 14 hours by flight and other things. But he would come, first sit down, complete his seva for the day, and only then think of prasad. This is transcendental. Transcendental to hunger and thirst and sleep. And then he built the Krishna Balaram temple at Bhubaneswar. There is a long story for that also, but we are not going into that. And then he undertook the job of preaching the world over. He traveled the length and breadth. He went to America, Africa, Europe, Asia, Mauritius, Australia, and especially to the rural parts of Odisha. Orissa has now become Odisha. Okay? He was a fearless preacher. He was meek and humble in his personal dealings, in his classes on Srimad Bhagavatam. He would roar like a lion, smashing the pride and cutting the misconceptions from the hearts of his disciples. Sometimes he would read an apparently basic philosophical statement from Prabhupada's purports. Then he would laugh like a child and say, here the topic of Krishna Prem comes up, but it requires further explanation. Then he would astound the devotees by giving more and more and more profound explanations of the same sentence for 2 or 3 hours. At one occasion, he said, look, Krishna is laughing at me because I am trying to explain completely and describe this topic, which is unlimited. So he had that personal rapport with the Lord. This is that Krishna Balaram temple at Bhubaneswar, which is there today. And Gaur Govind Swami said, I have opened a crying school here in Bhubaneswar. Unless we cry for Krishna, we cannot get his mercy. We have to really cry for Krishna. The relationship between the living entity and Krishna is like that between a mother and a child. When the child is happy playing with the toys, the mother does her work. She says, theek hai, he is playing, let him play. But when the child puts all the toys aside and begins to cry, she again tries to engage his attention with some other toys or something that is of interest to him. But when the child rejects everything and he simply cries out, then she says, oh, it is an emergency. She puts her work down and lifts the child. So that is the process of bhakti is to cry for Krishna so that Krishna will come and lift us. So bhakti, success in bhakti depends upon Krishna's mercy, not on our endeavors. Our endeavor is only to cry. But we have to cry sincerely. So at Gaur Radha Gopinath at Bhuvaneshwar, I will explain to you why this word Radha Gopinath is coming. Gaur Govind Maharaj was serving from Bhuvaneshwar because he was a sannyasi in ISKCON and he had a lot of responsibilities. And Gopal's deities were in Gadagiri, which is 3-hour drive from Bhuvaneshwar. So, but Gopal was his dear deity. So what he did was, since Gopal was not available for his daily worship, he made a replica of Gopal. He made the image of Gopinath and named Gopal and named that replica as Gopinath. So he established Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deity, Gopinath and Radharani, for his worship at the Bhuvaneshwar temple. And that is how we have these deities of Gaur Radha Gopinath at Bhuvaneshwar, which is in the front, separate. So these are those deities of Gaur Radha Gopinath. This is the Krishna Balaram deity in the Bhuvaneshwar temple. Jagannath Baldev and Subhadra in the Bhuvaneshwar temple. Because Prabhupada said, the foreign disciples of Prabhupada were not allowed entry into Jagannath Puri. So he said, you must have Jagannath Baldev Subhadra deities in the Krishna Balaram temple so that the visiting devotees from abroad can have darshan of Jagannath here. Now comes a very interesting part. Donating Gopal. It's very touching. Now, I think we have a brief idea that Ghanshyam Giri was Gaur Govind Maharaj's cousin. Okay? His father's brother's son. Okay? Now, as we all know, the worship of Gopal came down from generations, right from Gadagiri, not from Gadagiri, from Gopalgiri, because Gopalgiri was the one who established worship of Gopal. But Gadagiri is the village where Dadi Bhaman, that is Jagannath, Lord Jagannath was established, side by side Gopal's deity was established, Radharani was established, and so the worship was going on for generations. We have the long list of names. And then, this is the present scenario, where you have Ghanshyam Giri, pretty old, and he was now getting old. And you know now what is happening. Over a period of time, industrial revolution set in, the prosperity of the villages was diminished, people started migrating from the villages to the cities, and when the working force in the village dwindled, naturally generation of wealth in the village also went down. Agriculture was no longer lucrative or productive or very gainful, so it became a subsistence activity, not a lucrative activity. So naturally the funds for Gopal's worship also went down, and Ghanshyam Giri was struggling to maintain that rich traditional worship of Gopal. So the thought occurred to him that he should hand over Gopal to Gaur Govind Maharaj, because he is part of the same family. So he can take over worship. So he said, I would like to donate Gopal to Gaur Govind Maharaj. This was a project very dear to the heart of Gaur Govind Maharaj. He wanted to establish a beautiful temple for the worship of Gopaljiyu. But then what happened? You know, in Hindi films what happens? There is a hero and there is a heroine. But the story doesn't end that they get happily married. A villain has to come in between. You know, that will increase the height of the suspense or some thriller. It will make the movie more thrilling. So Krishna also, he adds some spice to his pastimes. Now, a doubt came in Ghanshyam Giri's mind. He said, if I donate Gopal to Gaur Govind Maharaj, he has so many other foreign devotees along with him. Do they understand the value of Gopal? Can they really appreciate how important Gopal is? Will they really be able to worship him with that same devotion? Will they really be able to hold him in that high position of esteem? And because of this, a doubt crept into his mind, and he did not go ahead with donating Gopal. he withdrew. And at that point, the Lord personally intervened. Now what happens, I would like to read out. Yes, here it is, just a minute. Donating Gopal, yes. Yes, I would like to read from this book. One day, how the change came about. Ghanshyam Giri wanted to donate, but he didn't. So Ghanshyam Giri himself has narrated this, his own experience. So he has written, at 2:30 one morning, I had a dream. Gopal came and was standing near my head. He said, why are you sleeping? Wake up. So many troubles have come to you, but have you felt any difficulty? No, because I am always behind you. Now you are alone. How can you arrange all types of festivals for me? I am always very interested to hear Nam Sankirtan. Gaur Govind Swami is your own relative. Why don't you give me to him? So now tell me, will you give me to or not? In the dream, he said, yes, yes, I will give. Suddenly, his wife woke up and said, what are you saying? What will you give? To whom will you give? You are speaking like a madman. What happened? Then he told her, Gopal had just come and asked if he was going to give Gaur Govind Swami, the deity of Gopal. And he said, I said, yes, I will give. Gopal was standing near that window. He just left. These are the words of Ghanshyam Giri. And she said, go and donate Gopal to Srila Gurudev. Whatever property you have, you should also give it to him. If he takes Gopal, then Gopal will be happy and he will be taken care of nicely. You will be able to see Gopal here every day. Why are you hesitating? In this way, she encouraged him. So the next day, when Ghanshyam Giri was preparing to go to tell him, he got news that Gaur Govind Maharaj is going to come there. So he waited there and he came after a few days. So then at that point of time, when Gaur Govind Swami came and met Ghanshyam Giri, he asked him, how are you? What about Gopal? So Ghanshyam Giri says, I have been waiting for you to come to give Gopal to you. Then he asked him and looked at him for a moment and laughed. He said, what happened? What brought about this change? Has Gopal spoken to you? He said, yes, Gurudev, Gopal spoke to me. And then what did Gaur Govind Maharaj say? What day was it that he spoke to you and what time? He says, 12 days before, 2:30 in the morning. Then he nodded his head and he said, actually, Gopal came and spoke to me also on the same morning at 2 o'clock. At 2:30 he came to you. That morning I was translating Bhagavatam into Odia. I dozed off for a few moments. Gopal came to me and said, you installed Radha Gopinath here. Has Gopinath replaced me in your life? I told you sometime back that in Bhubaneswar he installed Radha Gopinath, the replica of Gopal. So he had commissioned us called this thing, that we told. Yeah. Gopal again asked Gurudev, is Gopinath the same for you as me? With folded hands, Gaur Govind Maharaj replied, no. Gopal said, you are worshipping here, but I can't come here. Gadaigiri is the house of my devotees. They have no wealth, but their mind is always on me. Even if they only offer me a tulsi leaf and a little water, I am happy there. They are always saying, Gopal, Gopal. I cannot leave them and come here. You are not doing any service for me because Ghanshyam has not given me to you. He promised, unless Gopal tells me to give him to Gaur Govind Swami, I will not give him. Gopal then said, I will speak to Ghanshyam. First I have met you, Now I am going to meet Ghanshyam. While Gurudev and I were sleeping, one of my family members was there. They said, "You are always talking about donating Gopal, but you are only speaking and not giving. Today I must donate Gopal to Gurudev. Bring tulsi and water and chant mantra." Then he said, "How will you donate to me?" So then Ghanshyam Giri said, "As Srimad Bhagavatam describes that Bali Maharaj donated to Lord Vamandev. Like that I will donate Gopal to you. You place your hand under mine and I will donate 3 times with water and tulsi leaf." So he called for a Brahmin who put tulsi and water in his hand. "First I donate you Sri Radha Gopal Jiyu. Secondly, I give you all of Gopal's paraphernalia. Thirdly, I donate the entire property to you. From tomorrow, you will take charge." Hare Krishna. So this way, then of course the legal formalities followed, because Gaur Govind Swami is connected to an institution, so things have to be put in black and white. So the recording was done, the official records were prepared, and in 1994 the foundation stone was laid for the ISKCON temple at Gadaigiri. And what is Gadaigiri? It is a place of samskara and sadhana. Is it okay if I take a little more time? Because some very important points are here. Should I go ahead? Okay. Now this is very interesting aspect is coming here. That is, how the temple construction went. We are not talking about the technical aspects. We are talking about the qualitative aspect. How a devotee spiritualizes every activity. So, here Gaur Govind Swami narrated this story to the workers and the technicians and other people who had assembled to build the temple. And this is what he says. "With the help of 2 rishis, Bhrigu and Bharadwaj, Agastya Muni once built a huge temple for Krishna at Kalahasti in Rajasthan. Many laborers had been engaged to build that temple. Bhrigu and Bharadwaj were supervising them. The laborers were working hard from morning to sunset. Every evening before sunset, Agastya would sit on the bank of the nearby river and call all of the laborers. By his order, Bhrigu and Bharadwaj would then give a handful of sand to each laborer. That was their payment for the day, whole day's work. But when the 2 rishis gave the sand, it once turned into gold, according to how hard the laborer was working. He received a proportionate amount of gold. So whoever was working harder was getting more, and whoever was working less got less. And if someone went without working at all, he was only cheating, then he would only get sand and no gold. In this dealing, there was no partiality and no complaints. Everything took place before God, who is the supreme eyewitness. Each worker happily accepted his proper due, no more and no less. The laborers were thinking, whatever I am doing, Krishna is in my heart, constantly watching me. So I am working in his presence. If one has this mentality of work, then it is called as sadhu karma. This is Gopal's work. Don't neglect it. Don't quarrel and don't be duplicitous. Don't steal anything. After this temple is complete, if the rules and regulations are followed very nicely here, then it will help this area's inhabitants in their spiritual as well as economic development. Why are we building a temple here? This is important. Because this place is tapabhumi, a place of austerities. This is a very special place. By doing only a little sadhana or bhajan here, one can get great benefit in his spiritual life. The kirtan and austerities of this place brought Gopal from Vrindavan. This place will kill the demonic nature. Ravana was the most powerful demon, but he was always afraid of tapashakti, the power of austerities. Gopal from Vrindavan. Therefore, he told his followers that they could go to every place to the north except to Vedapuri, which is now modern Pondicherry in South India, because that place would kill the demonic nature. So this Gadaigiri, the place of Gopal, is a place of samskara and sadhana. Everyone should accept this place as their own and let their life be successful. Because as we know, as the old story goes, it was the place where the sadhu heard the auspicious sound of the flute, the conch and the ankle bells. So it is a very special place, and that is where, and even Gopal said, I don't want to leave this place. So therefore the deity and the temple, even today ISKCON has built the temple in the same place. Now, the construction of the temple was going on. At that point of time, the new temple, that is, at Gadagiri. And so they made a deity of Gopal and Radha. The original deities were there, but they made big deities. Like, you know, here we have Radha Gopinath, and then we have Radha Gopijan Avallabh. Today Radha Gopijan Avallabh has become Radha Madhav. So, and they are the Utsav Murtis. So they go out. But the Moola Murti is always on the altar. So, Gopalju, Radha Gopalju, they were small. They had come from Vrindavan. So now they were building a huge temple. So they constructed huge deities. So they made huge deities. So it was commissioned to make these huge deities. And when these deities were being done, when the work was going on, Gaur Govind Maharaj came to Ghanshyamgiri and he told him that when this temple is completed and it is commissioned, you will live to see that. I will not live to see that. He said, you are younger to me, I am elder to you. How can that be possible? He said, because you have served Gopal very sincerely. Gopal will allow you to see. But I will not see the temple when it is complete. He actually predicted his own disappearance. And so that is a full story about his disappearance. But I would not like to go into all that details now because that will take more time. But one thing I would like to just read out, that it was on the day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance that Gaur Govind Maharaj actually gave up his body. So I'll read that part. In Mayapur on 9th of February, the holy appearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, two senior ISKCON devotees requested an appointment in the early morning to see Gaur Govind Maharaj. They inquired, why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stay in Jagannath Puri? He enthusiastically began to explain the confidential significance of Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Puri. He described the pains of separation felt by Radha and Krishna when Krishna was away from Vrindavan. He gradually unfolded the pastime to the point where Radha and Krishna were finally united after their long separation. He described how Krishna became so ecstatic upon seeing Radharani that he manifested a form with big round eyes and shrunken limbs, Lord Jagannath. At that time, the devotees noticed tears had come to his eyes and his voice had become choked up. Barely audible, he said, then the eyes of Krishna fell upon the eyes of Radharani. Eye to eye union. Unable to continue, he apologized with folded hands. Please excuse me, I cannot speak. He then gave his final instruction. Kirtan, Kirtan. The devotees present began chant as he calmly lay back on his bed. Breathing slowly and deeply, upon his request, a servant placed a picture of Gopalji in his hand. Then gazing lovingly at that picture of his worshipable deity, Gaur Govind Swami said, Gopal. Then his eyes closed and he lost external consciousness. One devotee quickly ran to bring a doctor, Kaviraj, Dr. D.K. Brahma. And now it is worthwhile to read what the doctor has to say, because he was present at that spot. Just before Sandhya Arati, a devotee came to my residence and told me that Gaur Govind Swami was having some problem breathing and could I come to see him. When I arrived, Maharaj was lying down. Some doctors had come before me and had said that Maharaj had already passed away. Others were saying that we should take him to the Krishnanagar and give him treatment in the government hospital. I took his pulse and found that he was still alive. This is the speciality of an Ayurvedic doctor. They can only feel the pulse and they can say everything. They don't need all the sophisticated monitors. The sophistication is inside them. If they would have taken him to the government hospital, it means they would have been pumping his chest, thinking it was a heart attack. However, according to his pulse, there was nothing wrong with him. His pulse only showed that he was taking rest. The Ayurvedic science teaches how to diagnose a patient by taking his pulse. If something is wrong, we can feel it. But I never found anything wrong with Maharaj. According to his pulse, everything was normal. By the second or third time I read Maharaj's pulse, it had become clear that he had left. Some say that he had a heart attack. But if someone dies from a heart attack, generally we find they suffer a lot. They also generally have some previous history of a weak heart. In Maharaj's case, none of these things were there. Maharaj had the symptoms of Ashta Sattvika Vikara, ecstatic transformations on his holy body, on his body. One kind of vikara is that one doesn't want to stay here any longer. They want to go back to the spiritual abode, back to Krishna. Nothing in Maharaj's body failed. He just left. I am 100% sure of that. I have never seen this kind of death before. This is the statement of the doctor. And then Ghanshyam Giri says, Gurudev told me that Gopal is always anxious to hear Nama. He came all the way from Vrindavan only to hear Nam Sankirtan. He did not come to take food. He has no deficiency. He came here only for hearing Nama. Gopal is Nama Priya Thakur. The Lord always is eager to hear Nama. Gurudev has fulfilled Gopal's desire. Now, I am practically seeing that from morning to night, Kirtan Bhajan is always going on for Gopal. So many devotees are coming from all over the world. I am feeling happy seeing how Gurudev has fulfilled the desire of Gopal. Hare Krishna. Something more I would like to share with you. We are not yet completed, just a little bit. These are those beautiful pictures of the altar in Gadaigiri. So you see Jagannath, the Dadi Vaman, the original deity established in 1695. Then you have the deities of Gopal and Radha, marble deities. Then on the left you have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then at the base you have the original deities that came from Vrindavan, Gopalji, you know, the Utsav Murti. And then you have, of course, Prabhupada and Gaurgovind Maharaj. These are the deities of Radha Gopal being taken, prepared for Abhishek, beautifully dressed. And there is one connected story to Gaurgovind Maharaj's passing away, which has to do with, it is an interrelated story. It's sort of very significant. So that's why I'm taking a little time, just 1 or 5 minutes, not more than that. So you have this book. I'm sure many of you must have read this book. Mayapur, Lord Narsingdev. And here, there is an incident which is given. So one day, one Mataji, she came to the Pujari room. And she told that she had a dream where Lord Narsimhadev walked and talked with her just like a father. And when she asked how she could serve him, he told her, please offer me some mangoes. About 1 week later, when she brought the mangoes for offering, then Jananivas Prabhu was telling some other pujaris how fortunate she was that Lord Narsimhadev came to her dream and talked to her and held her hand while walking with her and gave her personal instructions. The Mataji then exclaimed, actually, there was more to the dream than what I have previously told you. Now comes the second part. She said, Lord Narsimhadev said to me, my pujari is very dear to me and I am going to take him back with me. And that means Jananivas Prabhu. Oh no, don't do that, please. She exclaimed, we want him to stay here. No, I think I will take him back. And after that, after all that pleading, then the Lord firmly said, okay then, I will take one of your leaders. And then she said, Lord Narsimhadev personally took Gaurgovind Maharaj. That is what happened. It is the same time. It's the same time this incident also happened over there. So we can see how reciprocative the Lord is. So Rupa Goswami has said, Pratima nahi tumi sakshat Brajendra Nandana. And I am telling you, here these deities of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, they have their own background and the way in which they have come here. There is a long story and history behind it. We are very fortunate somehow to come here and take shelter of these beautiful deities. And in this wonderful organization of ISKCON, where we have such elevated souls, Prabhupada himself, a direct representative of the Lord, sannyasis and sadhus like Gaur Govind Swami. Today we heard the story of only one sannyasi, but ISKCON is full of sannyasis. There are so many of them, and each one is very dear to the Supreme Lord. And something little I want to share. So this is that famous statement about Gaur Govind Swami, that what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, that a Vaishnava always lives in his words. And his message is, always chant, chant without offense, chant the pure name, get Krishna Prema, and get Krishna in this very lifetime. We can take this as the carry home message for the day. What he has spoken about Shri Kshetra, that is Jagannath Puri, it is Radharani's own abode. Then he says about Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Shravan, the sadhu who is a real devotee has no other business. He only speaks Krishna Katha, Hari Katha, Srimad Bhagavatam. When he opens his mouth, it comes out. So by associating with a sadhu, pure devotee, you will get this opportunity of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. By hearing Bhagavatam, one can develop bhakti unto Krishna. It must be a daily affair. Daily. That is why Prabhupada has made this system of daily Bhagavat Shravan in every ISKCON temple all over the world. And it is the duty of every devotee to incorporate this principle in one's own life. Read Bhagavatam every day. Read Bhagavad Gita every day. So this is our carry home message. So this is the beautiful deity of Gopal Jiyu. And I would like to share a little bit more with you. In 2006, a small group of devotees from here went to Jagannath Puri. Then we went to Gadaigiri, and there we met Damodar Giri and Ghanshyam Giri. These are the two personalities. So we had an opportunity to associate with them. We went to the temple of Gadaigiri, and also we were able to personally meet them over there. So this is Ghanshyam Giri. So we were able to take their association. So thank you very much. My only purpose, Hare Krishna. So if you are inspired by this pastime of Gopal Jiyu, then you can read this book. It's available. It's an ISKCON publication. I mean, I'm not very sure what exactly the publication is, but it is part of ISKCON's literature, so it's available here, or you can get it at Vrindavan, at Mayapur, and so many other places. We have it in our temple stall also, at times it comes. Then, if you're inspired, you can definitely visit Gadaigiri. When you go to Bhubaneswar, it's just 3 hours drive from Bhubaneswar. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I think we will not take any questions, but it's time for Kirtan now. Hare Krishna.